I had a picture of all your faces not too long ago this morning during worship, and it was everybody included. Every face was involved, and the word that the Lord gave me was strength. And it just said to me, there's strength in all of you guys. Every one of you, there's strength. Don't let that fall down. Take that into your heart. There's strength. So just know it, that you have it. You have that strength. Pastor, your jaw must drop every week when after worship and the time of ministering before you actually get up here and speak, because I am always in awe how developed this church is, that it can go from the moment you walk through the doors, that there is real ministry. The stature of the fivefold ministry is coming to fruition. And the words that are spoken, Maria, you know, your prophetic voice, the visions that you see, and what comes from the worship team are just awesome. They're awesome because it confirms everything that I'm going to tell you today. And I know Pastor must go through that because I experience it for just the few times that I'm up here. And it's really cool. It's really cool. Maria, when you said that, the Lord, the picture that you had of that washing over, that renewing and that refreshing, and followed up by Donna indicating what she had saw the river. There's an obedience factor to getting renewed. You have to step into the river to get that renewal, to get that refreshing. There's an actual decision that you have to make to step into it. You can't just stand on the sidelines. It's a very active position within your heart that you take. And I appreciate that. And Mike, you know, the picture of the... He spoke, in a nutshell, just what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, about hindrances. And, you know, last week, the Lord, I had three different topics, believe it or not, to come to today. And I didn't really know what God really had his finger on until Thursday or Friday. And he wouldn't let go in me what happened last week during worship. And the fact of the matter is, too, after Patty spoke, I left saying, oh, my gosh, I just gobbled that up. You should see my notebook. You know, it's like it took up volumes of my notes. Beginning last week, Winifred spoke a word of the Lord, and she spoke out, come up higher. And so I'm writing this stuff down because I knew that God was on it, because he's always on it. He's always got his finger on stuff. And Mike proceeded, after she said, come up higher, Mike proceeded to say, to come against fear and shame. That's all he did. He prayed against fear and shame. And then Joe actually got in there, and he was had an exhortation from the Lord saying, come up to the heavenlies. Incidentally, the heavenlies is a place of authority. And that's the position that we take. We take the position of authority. And we go to the heavenlies and we do it. Mike went to the heavenlies and he spoke against fear and shame. And I know God has his finger on that particular thing. We sang about fear this morning. So, and it's a huge hindrance. Like he stood up there with that speaker in his arms. That's a huge hindrance. Fear and shame are huge hindrances. And they will prevent you, they will hinder you from hearing the full word of God. So that kind of stuff has to be laid aside, like we did this morning. It has to be put down. We can't hang on to it. We are the head and not the tail. The authority is ours. Louisa... And Louisa, correct me if I get anything screwed up. She had a wonderful picture, a wonderful vision of angels coming down and giving everybody food. There was people that needed extra nourishment, so I guess they were spending a little bit more time to some individuals, and that's all good, because that's the way God is. He knows our capacity. He knows what we need. One of the key things that she noted is that you have to receive it and you have to eat it. They might be there with food, but you have to receive it and you have to eat it. You know, the wonderful thing about being childlike, I think about babies, you know, that are finally sitting up in their high chair, and they can be busy about doing stuff, but as soon as you put a spoon to their mouth, they eat it. You can just, you know, follow them around and feed them. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think of, you know, even Alea, 9-year-old Alea. She was so wonderfully obedient when Kevin Reardon was here, and she just clung to his coattails, and she just wanted to learn, and she just submitted to everything that he had to teach her. And she was so, you know, the life of a child. It's so simple. They're so submissive and obedient. And I think when Jesus said, you know, you must be like a child, because that's, children are typically submissive and obedient to their parent. And so, like infants, just take the spoon and eat it. Eat what's on that spoon. And like Alea, be obedient and submissive, because there's reward in all of that. She had the Holy Spirit flowing through her. That was her reward to being so obedient. So Donna carried that picture that Louisa had just a little bit further, and she gave a prophetic exhortation on that. And she said that some of them were given baby food. Those that hadn't eaten in a long time were given baby food. A lot of times after surgery, the doctors will recommend soft food because your digestive system just isn't in order. It isn't ready to take on heavier food. So if you haven't eaten in a long time, you might have to take those little baby steps and go back to the baby food and develop that foundation. And then she said you went on and some were given bread, and then it went to plates of vegetables, and then ultimately there was meat, something that you had to use your teeth in, a little bit more difficult to digest. So again, the wonderful thing is that the Lord knows our capacity. He's on it. And if anybody that's here giving you a word from the Lord, there's something to glean. If you don't understand it all, you take down the points that you can, and you hang on to that, and that can be developed. That's what will raise you up to the next level. That'll bring you up to that next level. Okay, I understand that. Let me look at that verse that I jotted down that I didn't quite understand, and you can go back and study it. Look at the Word of God. Confirm it. Learn about it. So one of the things that Donna said is that he's tailor-making food for you, and no one will be left out. There was a time I was homeschooling my three children. It was a period of 5 years, and they were very young. Jonah was in the second grade. And, of course, by the time it got to the third grade, David was up in age, and I guess you would call it kindergarten at the time. But I would teach them. There were some things that were specific to their age level. Math, reading, writing, those kinds of things were very specific to their age level. They had to be taught separately and individually. And then there were other times with the unified arts, social studies, sciences, art, things like that. They can be taught all at the same time. And we would go to the library, because I taught primarily from using library books. I didn't actually use textbooks. I used library books. So we'd come out of the library, because there were three different ages. We'd have, you know, 15, 18, 20 library books suited for each of their ages. It was all on the same topic, but some of it was more like baby food. Some of it was more like vegetables, and some of it for the older child was more like meat, stuff that he can dig a little bit deeper in. So I can understand what God is doing when he differentiates between all the needs of you, and it's a good thing. So I have a question for you. Just like the picture that Mike gave, holding his hindrance, whatever that might be. Last week, he spoke on fear and shame, and I think, you know, that's stuff that can be addressed anytime. And I know that people received deliverance from fear last week. A lot of you probably even received a bit of it this morning while you were being ministered to with that song. So it's always ongoing. You didn't miss anything. But I know that because it seemed to have been highlighted again this morning, I think God really wants to address that part of it because it's a huge hindrance. And that's primarily what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is hindrances. So ask yourself a question. This is the question. Do you feel stuck or in a rut? Can't seem to get out of your circumstance, whatever it may be. Can't seem to find an answer. Maybe you've been pressing on God for an answer to something about your life, but you can't seem to get beyond that. The Lord wants you to know that all you have to do is ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. So let me give you a little bit of a picture, because this is where I'm going. I'm going to go to that scripture where he talks about praying and asking and seeking and knocking. But I want to give you a picture because I'm going to use it as an analogy throughout what I'm going to teach you. So Joe and I, as most of you might know, we're boaters. Specifically, we are sailors on a sailboat. And there are times when we're on our sailboat, actually not very often, but it does happen sometimes, and all of a sudden we'll be at a standstill. Now the thing is, the key is that there's tons of wind all around and there's no excuse for being at a standstill. But what happens is that because we're at this standstill, we're pointed in a direction of the wind, that the sails are not harnessing the wind. They're being deflected off the boat. So our position is the hindrance. Okay? Do you follow me? Our position is the hindrance. We're not receiving the wind. Let's look at the wind as the Holy Spirit. Okay? So not receiving the wind. And the interesting thing, when your boat is in a position like that and you're literally standing still, the name for it is being in irons. How apropos, right? Being in irons. Just to give you a comparison, when the wind is at another certain direction on the boat, it could be at a reach, you could be pointing. So, but in this particular position, you're in irons. You're not going anywhere. And the hindrance being the position of the boat. So when Mike was holding up that speaker, his hindrance was the speaker, obviously. But you can put a name on it. Fear, shame, anxiety. I think he mentioned pride this morning. All kinds of hindrances that prevent you from receiving the wind of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, the interesting thing is that to get out of that place of position, it requires a hard turn either to the right or to the left, but it requires a quick, hard turn for the boat to change position. Okay? So, are you stuck in irons? Is the question. Mike came against fear and shame. That's a hindrance. It's a huge hindrance. It might not be that for everybody, but it could be that. And I think he said it for a reason. I think we sing about it a lot for a reason. So we can address it. There's no harm in that. But it's an opportunity for a self-check. If you're feeling gripped, the first thing that Jesus said is he wants you to pray. That's the first thing you can do, is pray. Because it's this process of prayer that's going to change your position. It's in this process of prayer. So Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in Luke 11, and he gave this exact message to the general public when he did it, when he addressed it in the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm going to go to Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to go right down to verse 13. So this is Jesus teaching about prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he takes a little moment and he gives a little story after he says all that. And he said, "Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." I find it funny that Jesus said the same exact thing 2 different times, back to back. And he continues, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So Jesus gives this little story in between the Lord's Prayer and the ask, seek, knock. And he highlights the idea that the friend, it's not a stranger, it's a friend, is asking for bread. It's the friend that went to the door of another friend. It's not a stranger that came to the door, but it's a friend. And it indicates there's some level of relationship. There's some level of intimacy there. That's one thing that is highlighted. The other thing is that what changed the man's mind, the man inside the house, what changed his mind about giving his friend the bread was his persistency. That's the other key thing that's highlighted. So, I mean, this man had all kinds of excuses. He was in bed, the door was closed, blah, blah, blah. But it was the friend's persistency that opened the door. So after that little scenario, after that little story that he gives, he goes on to say, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." So Donna's prophetic exhortation last week, the Lord said, "Receive your plate of food and don't say it doesn't look good." I wrote that down. I was like, wow, that's a funny thing to say. It's something you would say to your kids, you know. It's good for you. Just eat it. And, you know, if they're turning their nose up to it. And she said that. She said, don't say it doesn't look good, because the Lord knows what's good for you, no matter what your request is. Look at verse 13. Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the point I want you to grasp on this. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that helps you to receive everything that you are asking for. Everything that you are asking for. He's all about giving the Holy Spirit. It's not about the thing. It's about the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit's working that's going to affect what you need. Let me give you some further explanation on this. The word ask, when you look at the Greek word, it has a meaning of craving and desiring. It's like gathering information. You learn with certainty. It's gaining information. Kind of like when you meet a new person and you're having a conversation with them and you're gaining information. It helps you to learn about who that person is. You're getting to know them. Jesus specifically noted that the man knocking on the door was a friend. There is a relationship there. And he's saying, ask, develop a relationship. That's level number one. Just ask and develop a relationship. Let me give you some better description. Because when you look even further into that Greek word, there's more depth to it. So asking for something, obviously we know it to be very shallow in our American language. It's different than asking for a favor. It's different than a demand on something that's due. Maybe salt on your plate of food. It's different than that. It's different than searching for something hidden, as if it's a riddle, as if you need a clue. It's different than that. And here's the toughest one. Don't cut me off at my ankles at this one, but because I'm going to explain it a little bit in a few minutes. It's different than asking for something that is of urgent need. Here in this nation, most of you probably, including me and whoever else, our urgent needs include finances and our health, whether it's physical or emotional health. Those are urgent needs. Jesus is saying ask, but it's different than asking for something that's an urgent need. I'm going to finish up with that in a minute, because the context of this passage is about having a relationship with your Father in heaven, who supplies all things by the working of the Holy Spirit. What a great gift of that is, because that's the gift he's given you, the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's our persistence to stick with him so that we can be in a position to receive. If our boat is stuck in irons, we are not in a position to receive the wind. It's doing nothing but getting deflected. That position is a hindrance. So we have to be in a position to receive. The working of the Holy Spirit, the establishment of a relationship, helps us to receive what he has for us. It helps us to take that food, that nourishment that we need. I'm going to explain it to you a little bit more. If you turn over to chapter 12, down to verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" I have to say something about that word, little faith. It means, it's treated as one word, meaning incredulous. There's disbelief. It's not a measure that you have of faith. It's disbelief. Let me continue. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. So what it comes down is this. Jesus said right at the beginning, do not worry. The King James Version uses the word thought, have no thought. And what that word thought means, you'll be amazed because I was amazed. The word thought means distraction, and it has a disuniting quality about it. So he tells us, take no thought for your life. In other words, he's saying, don't be anxious, because by dwelling on it is a distraction and will disunite. Your Father knows that you have need of these things, but rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the working of the Holy Spirit gives us that renewed mind. Getting back to about healing and finances, those urgent needs that we have. I'm going to stick with healing for just a moment on that. So our mind regarding healing and asking for something that is an urgent need is this. He's given it to us already at the cross. He's given it to us. It's a done deal. All we have to do is receive it. We don't even have to ask for it. We just have to receive it. Let me explain it to you this way. Let's say you're a parent and you're ready to give your child a gift that that child can use his entire life. The gift is healing. Comes in a box, bow, and everything. And as a child, you give that child the gift. He has it for the rest of his life, that gift. You can't even take it back. It's a gift. And so the child goes off to play, puts the box on the shelf, really has no need of it, until one day the child comes to her father and she says, Daddy, my body is broken. I need you to heal me. And the father stands there and you know, like, what? What? Why are you asking me that silly question? I gave you the gift. You have it. So there's a renewing of our mind that has to take place. Jesus is saying, I've given you that gift at the cross. You have it. Now, the thing is that God is gracious. I mean, I ask for healing all the time. There's a renewing of my mind that says, you already have it. You already have it. And trust me when I say, with all boldness, I am praying for that breakthrough, that we can have that full revelation. And I know it, that one of these days, we will be, our jaws are going to drop at the amount of healings and miracles that we are going to experience. We are on the brink of it. It is so close, so close. And we will have that breakthrough. So let me go back to verse 25. Jesus says, who of you by worrying, that taking thought means to be anxious. Who of you by worrying, through that idea of distraction, remember, take no thought. Take no distraction with you. Don't hold the speaker. Take no thought. Don't be disunited because you're holding that speaker. Don't be disunited by that distraction. Take no thought. So who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? The King James Version says, can add to his stature. That word stature is maturity. So in other words, let me rephrase all of that for you. You can't grow in maturity if you're distracted by worrying and stuck in irons. Should I say it one more time? You can't grow in maturity if you're distracted by worry and stuck in irons. That one simple little verse, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? The fact of the matter is that you can't. The boat's not moving because we're stuck in irons. Okay? There's no progression. There's no growth. There's no stepping up to the next level when you're stuck. So challenging stuff is going to come your way all the time. But take no thought. Don't let it be a distraction. It can exist there, but don't let it take you over and distract you. But rather seek the kingdom of God. Let me just give you a quick recap. Asking implies the act of learning and gaining understanding. Here we have it. We have it before us. We've got it at our nightstands, in our kitchens, even in our bathrooms. You will always gain understanding when you read the Word of God. Always. So if you're stuck in irons and you don't feel like you're moving, take the time to mature. Take the time to mature. Because that's the beginning of the end. That's the beginning of the beginning. So, ask. The next thing that Jesus tells us to do is to seek. Seeking specifically means to worship God. It carries all the same elements of asking, but it has this endeavoring element to it. You're seeking after. So to worship God. Let me say something about worship. It's an expression of your heart. It's the adoration, the reverence, the devotion that comes from your heart. And it's an expression of your heart. Forget all the outward motions of singing and dancing. That's the byproduct of your heart towards God. It's deeper than just seeking. You're seeking the one who will give the Holy Spirit. That's the seeking. Jesus said, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit?" How much more? It's not a thing like fish or eggs. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. So seeking establishes relationship. You can expect revelation when you seek. You can expect it. Seek and you will find. It's a renewed mind of Christ. That's the result of it. You get this renewed mind of Christ and you get revelation. You're finding things. Amen. Isn't that the best gift? Yeah. So there is where you will grow in stature and mature. The asking and the seeking. That's where you're going to progress. That's where you're going to mature. There is where those disuniting distractions fall. They fall there. You drop the speaker. They end. Because remember, distractions is what causes a lack in unity. Like Mike said this morning, he can't play the guitar and hold on to that. He just simply can't. It has a disuniting factor to it. God is always listening to our prayers. He tells us to make our requests known to him. He says that in Philippians. I'll read it to you. Be careful for nothing, meaning don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer, a form of worship, and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He wants you to request of him. Because in so doing, the relationship is built. The asking and the seeking is building relationship beyond measure. You can't substitute that. So remember the boat, the importance of the position to receive the wind. So just remember that your position, as you're seeking and asking, you are being repositioned. Your mind is being renewed. And now you can begin to receive what he has for you, the Holy Spirit. Take and eat what the Lord is feeding you. Remember Donna and Luis's exhortation, take and eat. Whatever the Lord feeds you, it will renew your mind. The fact of the matter is that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's in the scriptures. He hasn't given us fear. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were so full of God, they had full confidence that they went before the king and they said, "My God will deliver me from the fiery furnace." And he did. There was no fear. They had power. So the last one, knock. So we're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking. Knocking has this wonderful quality of grabbing your attention. It's deliberate, it's forcible. There's supernatural effects to knocking. Think of the guy, the friend at the door. The knocking, that persistence, that noise that was grabbing his attention, destroyed the barrier. It demolished the hindrance. That's the supernatural effect. It will demolish fear. Your persistence, your sticking with God, will demolish the fear. It demolishes the barriers. It demolishes the hindrance. That door was opened. Knock, and the door will be opened. Think about it. That friend at the door, he didn't just do a little knock, I'm sure. He was persistent because Jesus said he was persistent. He made a lot of noise. That door was opened. Let me read to you from Proverbs 24. "My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Let me help you grasp a little bit more of this. Think about Luisa's picture, the angels feeding all of us. Every single one of us were getting fed. And Donna's exhortation to eat the word given to you and taste that it is good. Taste that it is good. The result of maturity will give you such faith, it's no longer going to be little faith that you're having a hard time believing. It's going to be such a faith that can no longer be hindered by distractions. All those distractions, whatever it may be, I'm sure everybody can have one and fill in that blank, will be at bay. You will not be distracted by it. You'll stay in union with your Heavenly Father. The revelation of the truth you gain will cause you not to be tossed by life's pushes. Those distractions will become so little and puny, you will not be tossed by them. They're going to exist, but they're not going to have the effect on you. It's going to be diminished. It's going to be demolished. That barrier is going to be taken down. The knock of your persistence is going to open the door. The challenges you face will be under your feet. The wind of the Holy Spirit will be blowing, and you will not be stuck in irons because you'll be positioned and you'll be aligned to properly receive His Spirit, that gift of the Holy Spirit, that asking, that seeking, and that knocking. You have a gift that's coming to you. Barriers will be demolished. The hindrances will be demolished. Your hope will not be cut off. Just like that scripture says, your hope will not be cut off. You know, going to the Word of God positions us to receive His Spirit. He's always, always answering. Always answering. We just have to be ready to hear him. And asking and seeking and knocking helps us to hear him. It helps us to align with him. We just have to, you know, like that boat, we just have to sometimes make a hard turn. We have to let our minds be renewed so that we can make that hard turn. We can align him by that asking and seeking and knocking. We get aligned to his spirit. So I tell you, ask and receive the Holy Spirit and the fullness that he has for you. He knows just what you need. Seek, display your heart of adoration to him. Give reverence and devotion to him, that true want and desiring to know him. Knock with such an intent, you know, with such a sincerity in your heart, and you can expect the barriers, the distractions, whatever it may be, to be at your feet. Soon your resistance will cause the devil to flee. Because of your submission to God and because you're drawing near to him, that's the resistance. You know, put aside the fact that you might be in irons. Paul and Silas were in irons. They prayed and they worshiped, and the irons fell off. They were free. I'm going to pray for you. And then, you know, there's always a time that you can minister to one another. If anybody feels like they're stuck and they need a little extra ministering on it, we're all here to do that. So, Father, I thank you for helping us to renew our minds, to reposition our thoughts, showing us through Jesus and his word that we can ask and we can seek and we can knock, and how that process helps us to align with you, to receive from you, to eat what you have. Lord, I ask that you help each and every one of us to know that we are the head and not the tail, that we have authority, that by your spirit, by your working, we can overcome every distraction and we can demolish barriers. And the door is always opened to us. Help us not to forget that, Lord. Help us to go to your word, to ask, to seek with our whole hearts, and to overcome any barrier with our persistence. Thank you for your promises that you always listen to our requests. Thank you for helping us to receive and to eat what is good for us. I pray this in Jesus' name.